Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
If you're a fan of Bob's Burgers, you of course know that as the animated series theme song. But for those not familiar with it, let's give a little bit of taste of the pacing and the humor from season two of Bob's Burgers, the Belchers talking about how to impress a visiting food critic.
Okay, the Moody Foodie is here in our restaurant. This is happening now.
Do you need a diversion? I'll scream, cockroach!
Gene!
Let's bribe him. Dad, take out the lettuce and replace it with this $20 bill that I took out of your wallet.
Oh, or tape it to his back.
That's not how a bribe works, Tina.
Yes, it is!
Now, everybody calm down, all right? We just do what we do. We give him a delicious meal. We get a positive review, and that's that.
Yeah, because if we don't, it's curtains. We're done.
Lynn, stop pep talking!
Bob's Burgers, very popular television series, and there's so many examples of series that are hugely popular. BoJack Horseman, Big Mouth, Rick and Morty, I mentioned. Of course, The Simpsons continues in, what, its 150th season or so, it seems. Joining us to talk about the growth and the new animated series aimed at adults we're going to be seeing is John Evershed, CEO of High Concentrate, which consults with studios and individuals on the development of adult animated productions. John is the author of a white paper titled Adult Animation Finally Breaking Free of Its Comedy Shackles. John, good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Great to be on your show.
Comedy has been at the center of almost all of these series aimed at adults, but is that changing, or we're going to start seeing more strictly dramatic animated series?
Well, there's a couple of trends going on. One is it's not just simply that comedy, you know, is still a staple of animation. It's actually it's taking over live action. Like if you do a Google search right now for live action comedy series, you come up with basically a lot of shows that are no longer in production. Shows like Reno 911 and Schitt's Creek, Modern Family show up. But if you do the same search for animated comedies, you get Rick and Morty, Bob's Burgers, Archer, like at least a dozen more series. So that's one trend that's going on. And the other one at the same time is that audiences are starting to accept animation as a medium for more ambitious storytelling. I'm counting like 40% of the new upcoming series. There's 100 upcoming adult animated series in the pipeline. That's a 50% increase over last year. And fully 40% of those are literally non-comedy genre series. Like today, there's only a handful of adult animated comedies that are, that are not comedies, right? You've got Undone, Trioscope's The Liberator, Castlevania, the horror series. But literally, you know, I'm showing 40 series. That's a jump from 3 to 40
That's
in
incredible.
1 year.
That is incredible. And do these series get developed just like live action series where there's a pilot that's shot and shown? Or does it take on a different development process?
It is different, but I do think it's changing. It will inevitably have to move more towards the pilot process that you see with live action. But, you know, for the longest time, Adult Swim was kind of the home for adult animation, right? The cable block on Cartoon Network. And it was really quirky, offbeat, sort of college irreverent stuff. And it came sort of up through like almost like an internal system at Adult Swim. But today, the way they're packaging up adult animated series is they're using tier one talent to make some of this stuff, like writing talent and attaching voice talent to these. You just heard that cast at the beginning of this call, right? The quality of that cast is just, you know, fantastic. And that's the case increasingly for these shows. And of course, the budgets are going up correspondingly. You know, you used to see series coming in for arguably initially, you know, $400,000 or $500,000, $600,000 per half hour, and now they're easily exceeding $1 million in many cases.
Wow. Let's talk with Faith in Corona. We're asking AirTalk listeners your favorite examples of adult targeted animation series. Faith in Corona, you're on AirTalk.
Hi, Larry. I'm so excited. I love KPCC and I love your show. But yeah, so we're talking about animation coming into drama and other genres in America, but they've been doing it in Japan for years. Anime is huge in my household. We watch shows that are drama and action like Attack on Titan. We watch shows that are fun kids or family shows like My Hero Academia. There's even, they call them slice of life shows like Ouran High. So there's a whole lot of non-comedy animation around the world. I'm glad that the U.S. is catching up to the idea.
Faith, I appreciate it. Great to have you with us. Neil in the Pico Union District also wanted to bring up Attack on Titan. He mentions it on the AirTalk page, but he says, don't get too attached to any of the characters. They don't survive for long. Let's talk about that, John, about anime, and because, of course, it's exploded in popularity here.
Yeah, it has. I mean, just last year, Crunchyroll, which is the subscription service that Warner Media owned, just sold that off to Sony. So Sony is now sort of the main competitor, if you will, in the animation space. But the number of anime series that are coming out, some of them are based on some of the biggest movie franchises in history. There's a Blade Runner anime coming out, a Kong Skull Island anime, a Terminator anime, and there's even rumor of a Game of Thrones anime coming out shortly, or not shortly, but they're trying to develop an anime series based on Game of Thrones. And it's not just that, it's video games. Video games, Netflix in particular, they've really, really doubled down on video games. Like they have anime series based on Splinter Cell, League of Legends, World of Warcraft. These are some of the biggest, you know, gaming franchises, Tomb Raider, Overwatch. That's not even the whole list. There's so many of these anime projects coming out around video games. It's kind of stunning. So yes, your caller was right that, you know, anime has, just Japanese have accepted, you know, animation for adults, or animation can do more than just comedy for much longer than we did. I mean, basically Disney sort of laid down the rules like, hey, animation's for kids. And America kind of accepted that. But slowly they're coming around, in partly due to what's going on with anime, but also partly to do with more ambitious shows like BoJack Horseman. I mean, if you look at a show like that, right, that started right around the same time at the very beginning of Netflix Originals. And it was it ran for many years. It just finally finished its last season. But it's a really smartly written, intense, dramatic, dramedy, or whatever you want to call it. The trend here in the U.S., because the streamers can kind of appeal to niche audiences with their programming, they figured out that adult animation is like the great hack for getting at 18 to 34s. Because it's less expensive in many cases than live action. You get merchandise built around them relatively easily. There's just a lot of things going for animation that it's very enduring, right? You think about the how long The Simpsons has ran for, or BoJack, yeah, for that matter. So there's just a lot of good things that that they've recognized, and they've all doubled down on it, right? Like Netflix, you know, came from Silicon Valley, so their numbers show them adult animation resonates with 18 to 34s, and all the other streamers have jumped in with HBO Max in particular, with pretty ambitious programming.
We're going to talk more. It sounds like there can't be any unemployed animators, given the amount of production that's going on right now. John Evershed with us, CEO of High Concentrate, which works with the development of adult animated productions. We'll continue, and I want to hear from you if you work in the business or involved with productions, or you're just a fan of a particular adult-targeted animation series. Share with us what you love about it. 866-893-KPECC. Back in a minute. Rick and Morty fans, you know that theme. We're talking about animation that's aimed at adults and the explosion in the amount of content that's in production right now. Let me share some more listener comments. Roy in L.A. says, I'll go way, way back. Something may have been meant for kids, but I found enjoyable as an adult for its weird, subversive, utterly wacky stories and characters. I'm talking about Gumby. That's right. Yes, Art Clokey definitely was something weird and interesting in Gumby. Wilbur Fan writes on the page, I recently discovered a show called Mike Tyson Mysteries, and it's one of my new favorites. I wonder what kind of substances were around when the premise of this show was conceived. Norm MacDonald voicing a pigeon is particularly delightful. 866-893-KPCC. In Torrance, Scott, you're on Air Talk.
Hi, lately I've been really enjoying the animated show called Onyx Equinox. Onyx Equinox came out last year, and it's like an action, drama, fantasy epic based on Mesoamerican mythologies. So it kind of looks like a Saturday morning cartoon on the surface, but It actually has like these super intricate designs and dark horror elements and adult themes and beautiful storytelling that I think you can only really get with adult-focused animation. And it's nice to see, like, the representation, too.
Yeah, it sounds really Onyx Equinox. And where is it available?
It's available on Crunchyroll, which mostly has kind of anime and Japanese animation.
And is Onyx Equinox, you know, is it created in the U.S. or elsewhere? Do you know?
Yeah, it's created in the U.S. by a Mexican-American creator. But I think it's also popular in like Mexico and Latin America.
Yeah. I would think using that source material. Scott, thank you so much for sharing about that one. Let's talk with Dane in Hawthorne. Dane, what's one of your favorite animation series for adults?
I love the Netflix show Tuca and Bertie. That's Bertie. And it's voiced by Tiffany Haddish and Ali Wong. It has really interesting animation. And unlike a lot of the shows that we were talking about before, it has a very lighthearted, very positive message. So it's not as dark as maybe Rick and Morty and BoJack.
Yeah. Tuca and Bertie streaming on Netflix. Dane, thanks very much. Mark in Woodland Hills, what's one of your favorites?
Archer.
Oh, yes. Very funny.
Voiced like Bob's Burgers by H. John Benjamin. It is very much an adult show. And I think it shows what is possible with animation that would actually not be possible with live action. You can get away with bawdiness, you can get away with violence, you can get away with kind of satirical kinds of things in an animated venue that you would not be able to do with live action. So I think it actually is able to kind of broaden the landscape of offerings as well.
Mark, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Yeah. Archer, of course, a longtime favorite for so many people. John Evershed, your comment, though, on Mark's point about the kinds of material that you have access to in adult animation that you couldn't do live action.
Yeah, well, you know, you think about comedies, right? Family Guy, for example, right? They take off on all these flights of fancy, and nobody has to move. They're still sitting in the same desk they were making the show when, you know, the scene prior. So it's more flexible for doing anything. You know, you always have to ask yourself a question when you're making an animated series, like, why is it animated? Do you need to put it somewhere fantastic? Are the characters animals? You know, there should be reasons why you're doing it. And the best ones have reasons. And that's why they work, because they can do things, again, that, you know, a traditional sitcom, for example, is a pretty static format. It was developed very specifically for, you know, a rigid half hour, you know, show with commercial interruptions, and the rhythm and the way those things are put together are very specific. But with the streamers now, they have more latitude to kind of be more flexible with run times and how they put shows together. So there's a lot of things that are working in animation's favor that are moving it, you know, moving people from live action into comedy, into drama.
Douglas in Los Feliz, I understand you've directed episodes of Rick and Morty. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So share with us a bit, you know, behind the scenes and what makes that show so successful, what you're able to do with it.
I think the animation medium really just lends itself to, you know, very ambitious storytelling. And we kind of are really, into pushing the boundaries of what, you know, can be done with a visual medium like animation. So it's a great one to be working in.
Well, and you're able with Rick and Morty to go to such extremes at times, and counting that your audience is going to go with you to some of the weirdest, most convoluted stuff. My son's a huge fan of Rick and Morty, and it, you know, he'll show me parts of episodes, or we'll watch episodes together. And I'm impressed how the audience will go with some pretty far out stuff.
Yeah, it takes the audience's, it's into both highbrow and lowbrow stuff, which is, I think, a really great blend for the medium.
Yeah. Douglas, how many episodes have you done of the series?
I've been a storyboard artist since season 3, but I'm directing my second episode right now for season 6.
Very good. Well, thank you for calling and sharing that. I appreciate it very much. Douglas Einar Olson of Rick and Morty. We're going to close out with John Evershed, CEO of High Concentrate. You have a new white paper that's coming out soon. Is it going to be looking at other issues of adult animation?
Well, actually, this is kind of a preview of the white paper, some of the findings, just the sheer volume of stuff coming down the pike and where the trends are heading. So, but it really articulates it in great detail for anybody that's interested. You can find it at highconcentrate.com, just like it sounds. And it probably should be available, I'd say, within the next week to 2 weeks, something like that.
And we will link to it on our AirTalk segment page so our listeners can find that easily as well. John, thanks very much. Look forward to having you come back. I'd love to explore the topic in the future and talk about some of the new series as they come out, if you're game.
I'm game. Thank you, Larry. I enjoyed it.
That'd be great. Me too. John Evershed, High Concentrate. Adult animation, our focus as we close out today's AirTalk. Fresh air coming up next. From all of us at AirTalk, have a great afternoon. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.